Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our reading today concerns Peter in the courtyard of the high priest's home. And just a word about Peter before I read this. Peter is portrayed in the gospel as a kind of guy who's full of himself. If you want to know what a good follower of Jesus is, look at me. You want to know about Jesus, ask me. I know it all. The tragic description here follows on that character of his. Just a second note here, too. You have reference to the cock crowing. And if you watch movies of Jesus' last days, sometimes they show a rooster crowing in the morning. It's not a rooster. Roosters were illegal in Jerusalem at that time. The cock crow is a trumpet blast at 3 o'clock in the morning, marking the change of the guard in the Roman garrison at the Tower of Anthony. So if you watch it, it should have a trumpet blast when Peter realizes what's going on. Okay. Here's Luke 22. Then they arrested Jesus and led him away. They took him to the high priest's house, and Peter followed at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter sat among them. A serving maid who saw him sitting in the firelight stared at him and said, "This man was with Jesus too." But Peter denied it. "I do not know him," he said. A little bit later, a man noticed him and said, "You also were one of them." But Peter said, "No, no way, I'm not." About an hour passed, and someone else spoke more strongly still. Of course he was with him. He must have been. He's a Galilean too. But Peter said, "I don't know what you're talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed, the 3 o'clock in the morning trumpet blast. The cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. What was in that look? And Peter remembered the Lord's words, "Tonight, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. This Lent, we've been looking at some of the people and places in the last week of Jesus' life, the week he spent in Jerusalem. And the series is called In His Steps. And you'll remember we started out with Mary of Bethany. And she's the one who put all the dots together, the first one who really realized Jesus was walking to his death, walking into a death trap. And then we had Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that prayer, "Not my will, but thine be done," but also the strengthening angel that was present. And today we look at Peter in a very dramatic scene from his life. Now, again, if we think of communion, which we'll celebrate later on, Jesus and his disciples celebrated the Passover together. They sang a hymn. They went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there, in the darkness of the night, they pray. And the temple police come secretly in the night. This is not a public thing at all. This is done secretly in the night. They come to the Garden of Gethsemane and they arrest Jesus. And the disciples flee for their lives. They're scared to death. But one of the disciples has at least the courage to hide in the shadows to try and see where the police are taking Jesus. What are they going to do with him? And this is Peter. He follows along a little bit behind in the shadows so nobody can see him. And the police take Jesus to the home of the high priest. And Peter comes into the courtyard of that home, tries to mix with the people there. They've lit a charcoal fire for warmth. It's kind of chilly outside. And Peter tries to be unnoticed, but the light from that charcoal fire catches his face. And a little servant girl says, you were with that prisoner, weren't you? And Peter denies it, and he denies it three times. And just at that moment, Jesus is brought out in bounds. He's bound. Just at that moment, there is that trumpet blast marking the changing of the guard at the Tower of Anthony. And Peter remembers how Jesus had said to him, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And the tears well up in his eyes, and he goes out into that cold night, that cold dark night, and he staggers down a roadway and just cries bitterly. Friendship. Peter had denied his best friend. You know, a friend's supposed to be there for you, right? In the hard times, in the difficult times, when the world turns against you, your friend is supposed to be there for you. And Peter had sort of turned his back on his own values, his own care and respect for Jesus. And he remembered how Jesus had said to him, you know, you're going to deny me tonight. Before the cock crows, you're going to do it three times. And he says, again, full of himself, all the others may deny you, but not me. I'll never do it. And just imagine how hollow now, how empty that affirmation was for Peter. Failure. He'd failed. And I suspect we all have our times of weakness. We all have our times, maybe even of cowardice. We're afraid. Peter had failed, and there are times when we're there too. And sometimes we think maybe what we're doing may not be on the same level as Peter's. You know, there may be times when we wonder, what can God do with our lives? We've messed up so badly. What can God do with us? And if you've ever felt that way, Peter knows what you're going through. He's felt that way himself. He's been there. The story of Peter is a story of failure, But it doesn't stop there. It's failure does not have the last word in this man's life. He may have given up on Jesus, but Jesus has not given up on him. And what we have here really is a man's story of hope, a man's story of new life. Because you remember in Easter time, the resurrection scene, where Jesus says to the women, "Go and tell the others." And Peter. It's to Peter that he says, "Feed my sheep." I think Peter's life is an example of someone who is given a second chance. And I think the church, our church, every church, is built on that. A second chance from a very merciful God. There's, I don't know, do any of you know Brunhilde, the comic strip? Brunhilde? She's a witch, but she has a little friend, Erwin. And in one of the comic strips, Erwin is all dressed very fancy. He's got tails and all the rest. And he picks up a conductor's baton. And with his baton, he goes into the woods. He stands on the trunk of a fallen tree and begins conducting. There's no orchestra there, no instruments, just rocks and trees and flowers. But still, he keeps conducting. And all of a sudden, slowly but surely, musical notes rise up in the panel. And at this point, Erwin turns to the reader and says, "It was all in there. It just takes a little time to get it all out." And I think this is what Jesus is doing with Peter. There was a better man in there. It just took a little while to get it all out. The church is built on you and me and a second chance. Now, I think there's something about Peter here, though. Let me put this in another way. I think what makes the turning point for Peter is that he is able to receive forgiveness. And we know, we often say, "Hey, forgiving people is really hard. I'm not sure I can forgive so-and-so for what they did." What we don't often appreciate is receiving forgiveness, accepting forgiveness, can be very hard, too, when we've done something wrong. It can be very hard. Peter was willing to receive forgiveness. He was willing to learn and to grow from his mistake. And you know, Jesus, in that scene in the Gospel of John, one of the resurrection scenes, again by a charcoal fire, Jesus asked Peter three times, like three denials, "Peter, do you love me?" And his answer is, "You know I do. You know I do." This man who had failed so crucially was able to go on and become a leader in the early church. And you know, even today, what, 2,000 years later, in Rome, there's a big church named after him, right? James White tells this story about Paderewski, who was a pianist and composer, a very well-known music person. And on one occasion, I think in New York, he was to perform. And a mother came to witness the performance, and she brought with her her 9-year-old son, and this was kind of a wild son. And she brought him with the idea that maybe he'd see Paderewski and decide that, you know, perhaps he should rehearse his piano. He should play his piano and practice. But this was a wild little boy. And the mother saw some friends and went over to talk to them. And just in the split second she took her eye off her son, the son was off. And somehow he got up on the stage and sat down at the piano that Paderewski was supposed to play. And lo and behold, what do you think he did? This little boy starts playing chopsticks on this piano. And of course the people in attendance said, "Who's this kid? What's he doing? Get him out of up there." Now Paderewski himself was off to the side, and when he heard all the commotion, he realized what was happening. And he came out, and what do you suppose he did? He stood behind that little boy, and this little boy right now is realizing, "I'm in big trouble." But Paderewski put his arms down on either side of the boy while he was playing his chopsticks. And he started playing on the piano a counter melody to the boy's chopsticks. And it was very nice. And of course, at the end, the audience applauded. Now, I think that's an image, that's a metaphor. Because I think, as with Peter, so with us, that just like Paderewski, when we discover, boy, am I in trouble, I shouldn't be up here, Jesus comes along and puts his arms down about us and starts playing a counter melody to our chopsticks. And that makes all the difference. Just like Peter, I think there's a second chance for you and for me. And our church is built on that. Amen.